Anybody have any topics or subjects they want to broach? Or you turn it over to the lecture.
We're done with what we were looking at last week. I was very encouraged with last week's study. The text was just so rich. And contrasting to seven, I thought that was very good. Way to frame that whole thing, the contrast between eight and seven. I don't know how many times I've played this chapter, but you know, I might stop at seven and pick up eight the next day. So looking at them, kind of putting them and putting them in that context, they really are a contrast.
Yes.
And just the, Chris and I have talked about just the occasion, 21 times of the versus zero.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very telling of our neediness, our you know, that we need the Lord, we need the Testament, we need the Spirit. If the scripture say, we ask for the Spirit, and the gift of the Lord. We ask for a greater measure of faith, greater measure of the Spirit. And, so, very
literal.
Anybody else? Open line Wednesday. Defer to me, so what it's going to be. So, Rich, I guess we'll have to be loud. I got this thing on as loud as I can be. We'll try to be louder. Sorry.
Maybe they throw their volume up loud.
I'm going to read a little here for you so see if you can. Listen to what I say. The year is 1721. We're in Boston. 11,000 residents in the city.
Actually, I could hardly hear you, Mark. Can you speak up or just test it and see if I can hear you?
Yeah, I got you a speaker. Let me check the thing on the microphone. Audio settings.
Mic's already up.
Speaker's up. I think it's about as loud as I'm going to get. Mark, can you hear me? Let me see if I can make this thing higher.
You're loud and clear with me.
Okay. I'll just try to speak louder. Okay. Anyway, the year is 1721. The place is Boston. About 11,000 residents. They were facing what we're facing. Smallpox and inoculation. So far, 844 people had died. And it says, it was in the midst of this public health crisis that Cotton Mather, I don't know if you're familiar with Cotton Mather, is. He's one of the Puritans, the old days. And he had a dad, his name was Increase Mather. Interesting. But anyway, he had, in the midst of this, he began to promote an experimental inoculation that he had learned from his slave, Onesimus. And one of the things you do is you cut incision in your arm and you kind of put part of a live virus in there. So that they think you would be inoculated from it. And of course, when they did that, the mortality rate at the time was 15% and it dropped to 2. But during that time, there was the big inoculation controversy. Kind of like what we have here. Kind of like what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just repackaged and reshaped and called different things. So Increase Mather, his dad, had written a pamphlet and it was called Several Reasons Proving That Inoculating or Transplanting the Smallpox is a Lawful Practice and that it has been blessed by God for the saving of many a life. And he talked about how it was a way of keeping the sixth commandment and thou shalt not murder and that you should, you know, practice, you know, these kind of things. Well, you had on the other side, you had fierce opposition to it. You had all kind of different people who preached against it. William Douglas, if you're familiar with some of these guys, said it was basically the sin of not trusting God to even take the inoculation. And it's sort of tempting God with it. You had, let's see, a Bostonian pastor by the name of William Cooper. He wrote a pastoral letter entitled A Reply to the Objections Made Against Taking the Smallpox in the Way of Inoculation from Principles of Conscience. And then, of course, you remember, on March 22nd, 1758, John Edwards passed away from taking the smallpox inoculation. In fact, I think it was in that same year his daughter died as well from the same thing. Enter John Newton. And John Newton, as a pastor, gave some pretty good advice. He has a letter about, you know, what he said and things of this sort. And how what took place out of all of this was during this history of back and forth, you had different people on both sides. And it says the doctrine then of the liberty of conscience was prominent and instrumental in shaping religious liberty in the United States. It was ascribed to by both Christians and deists and was foundational to Thomas Jefferson's authorship of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom, which got added into the First Amendment, the whole idea of liberty of conscience. So this smallpox trial gave rise to later on saying, look, a man should have the right to have a liberty of conscience. And so here was a few key excerpts from it. It says, whereas Almighty God hath created the mind free, that all attempts to influence it by temporal punishment or burdens or by civil incapacitations tend only to beget habits of hypocrisy and meanness, and are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion, who being Lord both of body and mind, chose not to propagated by coercion on either, as was in his almighty power to do. So they're arguing against coercion, is what he's arguing here. Be it enacted by the General Assembly that no man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship, place, or ministry whatsoever, nor shall be enforced, restrained, molested, or burdened in his body or goods, nor shall otherwise suffer an account of his religious opinions or belief, but that all men shall be free to possess, to profess, and by argument to maintain their opinion in matters of religion, and at the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. A lot of this also arose, if you remember, way back with Martin Luther when he made a statement at the Diet of Worms in Germany. And he basically said, remember what he said, he goes, unless I am convinced by sacred scripture or by evident reason, I cannot recant, for my conscience is held captive by the word of God, and to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. What we want to kind of look at tonight, I thought what would be important for us to take a look at. Of course, this whole vaccine thing is kind of eating up our entire culture. It eats up the news feeds. I mean, everything, every time you see it, people getting fired for this, fired for that, people making stands and doing all kinds of things. And Christian enters into the picture. And you got the science on this hand, you got the science on that hand, and trying to come up with a rational decision. The issue that we want to discuss tonight is not whether to take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. You're going to have Christians on both sides of that issue. You had it in 1721. You had people who would take it, yet people who didn't take it. The issue is why you take it before God. Right. And so that has to be what is, and I never hear this in the discussion on vaccinations with Christians. I hear stuff like, what do you mean you're not taking the vaccine? Man, just take the vaccine and it's no big deal. It's kind of like, you know, you'll be able to, you know, what you're getting laid off your job for. Why don't you just take the vaccine? And these are coming from Christians. And they don't understand that below the surface of that isn't just a matter of taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine. It's a matter of deeper principles. The question isn't to take the vaccine or not. The question is, what would God have you do with the vaccine? So answering that question, it ain't going to come from St. Fauci. Okay, it ain't going to come from the Biden White House. It's not going to come from anybody except God. So on one hand, and here's where we really want to kind of get to the meat of the coconut in the discussion. Okay, kind of let you know kind of where we're going. How does your conscience get bound to go in a certain direction? What binds it to go in direction A versus direction B? What does it look like? What are the characteristics of that? Now, if you remember, I'm going to kind of put us on a little screenshot here. Let's see. Oh, no. Don't leave me just yet.
Looks like we're only 14.
I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul talks about the whole idea of, I think it was in 1, it might be in 2 chapter 1, but he talks about how we serve God, how he serves God with a clear conscience. And so the whole idea of a conscience and having a clear conscience is everything. If you remember when he gets to 1 Timothy 4, he talks about the conscience again. He talks about these hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience. That's with a branding iron. These hypocrites who in the latter times will have you practice all this asceticism about forbidden marriage and advocating abstaining from foods. And then Paul comes in with this conscience point in verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. This is one of the ingredients of having a clear conscience without which you cannot serve the Lord. You have to serve the Lord with a clear conscience. Now, that's easier said than done. It's like the whole issue, if I go back to 1 Corinthians 8 or Romans 14, which we'll look at in a little bit, on this whole idea of what does it mean to be a strong brother or a weak brother when it comes to meat offered to idols. You know, how do you weigh in on that if Paul was to talk to Gentiles or Jews or whatever, and some guy says, well, you know, really, I don't have an opinion either way. Now, what do you do? You can put the vaccination in the blanks here, that when someone says, well, what is your conviction before God when it comes to the vaccine? Now, if you have a conviction before God when it comes to the vaccine, easy peasy. This is what God wants me to do. This is what God doesn't want me to do. And for whatever reason, a person might have that conviction. It's not left up to the government to decide your convictions. One of the things that is a problem is when the government was trying to, I'm not saying across the board or whatever, mandate the authenticness of a religious conviction. And so they say, well, you need to get a letter from your pastor, or you need to kind of go through a questionnaire with your pastor, or your pastor needs to discern whether it's a true conviction or not. No, we don't. The government doesn't set up litmus test rules on whether something is a conviction for you or not. And it definitely doesn't go through someone like me as a pastor. Is if I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to analyze Rich here and say, well, whether this is really legit for Rich to have a, you know, if you're saying that he can't take the vax because it's a conviction. Well, let's ask him 20 questions, see if it's a real conviction. I'm not his Lord and master over his conscience. Why does he have to answer to me and then have to go answer to the government? If he turns and says, God does not want me to take this, and this is what I believe in my conscience, wouldn't that be enough? He doesn't have to prove anything in his conscience. I could be lying in the sense of that, but that's before God. But the liberty of a conscience before God and before men, I'm here to tell you, on the basis of this passage here, and I want you to see how this is going to play out here. If you remember what Paul says, and of course, Paul's dealing here with this whole idea of circumcision and these people that were going back into Judaism and all this other stuff, thinking that they were somehow getting closer to God. Look in verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. He's going to go down in verse 13. He's going to say the same thing. You are called to freedom, brethren. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So call to freedom, he says here. Stand firm in it. Christ has set you free. You're not to be subject to a yoke of slavery. We saw that in Romans 8 last week, that you have a spirit of adoption. You do not have a spirit of slavery, those kind of things, leading to fear and all this other stuff. And he also says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 2. So this whole idea of liberty of conscience is very, very important for the Christian in maintaining that his conscience is clear. And so the issue isn't so much being anti-vax for some of us, or pro-vax. For some, it's going to be the issue is the mandate. Is this government overreach, pastoral overreach, any kind of overreach that invades your conscience on what God would have you do or not do? And you got to remember something now. Well, where this is also going to break down is when someone comes to you, someone comes to me, and they say, hey, how do you feel about the vax? Well, my answer is always the same. It's like, I'm not for or against it. Oh, so did you take it? No. Oh, why not? I mean, they just kind of go with the science and things of this sort. Now, if I don't have a conviction from God about taking it or not taking it, the next category, and this is going to be huge, has to be based upon wisdom. I'm called to walk in wisdom in Ephesians chapter 5.
Right.
Let your, you know, speech be this way. Let your walk be as wise men. So if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something. If I don't have a conviction about eating meat offered to an idol, someone says, what do you think about eating meat offered to an idol? Well, I'm not pro, not against it, which basically puts me in the strong category, which means I probably could eat it because I don't have an opinion about one way or another. But I do have to have this. And this is going to be the key. And this kind of gets us back to Romans chapter 14. Remember in Romans 14, Paul is dealing with these principles of conscience. Now, except the one who is weak in faith. Now, he's not talking about weak in faith with a guy that doesn't know much theology or doesn't read his Bible much. He's talking about he's weak in faith when it comes to scruples, when it comes to eating meat offered to idols, because he's going to talk about those kind of things. But not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. He's going to say the same thing in verse 3. Don't regard with contempt. Accept him. So here's one person who has faith that he may eat all things. So this weak in the faith has to do with eating certain things, meats and vegetables, a strong brother. And the weak only eats vegetables, he says at the end of verse 2. And so the weak in the faith isn't weak theologically as much as it's, he doesn't have that freedom to be able to go do X, Y, and Z, maybe some other people do, or get vaccinated, or don't get vaccinated. He doesn't have that. And so as Paul goes through this, notice how he defers this guy to somebody else. He says, the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. So lay off the contempt. Don't sit here and judge this guy. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. Stop it. Here's verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. He doesn't stand or fall of you. And he will stand. God will make him stand just to show you. I can make him stand with his conscience different from you. For the Lord is able to make him stand. And so when he gets to verse 5 through 9, he says one person regards one day above another, another regards one day like. Each person, notice, fully convinced in his own mind. If you're not, here's the key. If you're not fully convinced in your own mind, then you can't practice what he's going to say down here in verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith. And here's the principle. Whatever is not from faith is sin. There's the big principle. Whatever you do, you have to do believing that what you're doing is honoring God. 1 Timothy 4, you have to do what? Give thanks for that thing that's created. Remember, all things are created, and we give thanks for all things. Well, some people can't give thanks for that because they think they'll be sinning. Well, then you can't do that. Because if you can't give thanks and you can't do it in faith, then it's going to be sin. And so your conscience is telling you, kind of like red light, green light, is telling you this is red light for you. And so don't go down this road. Stop. Okay. So you're not to change your conscience. The culture's not to change your conscience. Fauci's not to change your conscience. The government's not to change your conscience. Your conscience is before God and God alone. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm going back up here a little bit. So as he says these things here about, you know, we're the Lord's, we live for the Lord, we die for the Lord. And then he comes in verse 10 and says, you know, why do you judge your brother? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? So you got both sides. One was judging another sound. Some Christian he is. He's thinking going to idols and eating temples and eating mean things of this sort. I mean, that's not much of a witness. See, judging him. The other one holds him in contempt saying, what a bonehead. I mean, God's free from all these things. And here he is trying to act like a Jew or something. You can't do that. That's contemptuous, and it's also judging. Don't do that. Accepting is what he says. And the bottom line is, verse 12, he says it again. Each one will give an account of themselves to God, not to the government. You give an account of your conscience and what you're doing and not doing before the Lord. So, short answer. If someone asks if you've been vaccinated or haven't been vaccinated, and you tell them whatever your answer is, yes, no, and then they say why, you should be able to give them an answer from Romans 14. And you just go straight to the heart of the matter and say, because God wanted me to. God, with my conscience, this was the wisest thing for me to do. to get it, to not get it. Cuts through all the chase. And then if they ask questions about medicine or health or whatever, that's secondary. I mean, that's secondary to God. I don't care whatever these people say. If God wants me to do this, this is what I do. Because this is what I'm supposed to do. And if you get persecuted from some group or whatever, then hey, then they're judging or they're holding people in contempt. You understand so far where we're at? Any questions? Anything to understand? Anything you need to kind of?
Well, I'm glad you don't always have to have an ironclad conviction, because in my case, it's based on wisdom. But it,
yeah, and we're going to get to that. You know, so looking at the wisdom principles involved to whatever a person does or doesn't do, you know, kind of thing. Got it.
I think it stands without saying that if it's a clear command, negative or positive, affirmative or negative command, that a person can't pull the conscience card.
Right.
You know, right. Fornication is tied up to a man's conscience.
Yeah, really.
There are very clear
right.
issues that are right, that are very wrong.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is it goes in from there is, now that doesn't mean that every Christian either understands all of that, nor do they know it. Now, the interesting thing is that they, interestingly, when I went and God said, I curse like a samurai. I love cursing. That was one of the first things God cleaned up.
Absolutely.
My mouth. Now that's many Absolutely. Folks' experience that God cleans that up because, you know, you don't want unwholesome words and so all that, don't want to be a bad witness, and we know we're to honor now we're representatives of Christ. But the scriptures do instruct our conscience as we go, right? I mean, we would think that if something's going to instruct and educate our consciences so that we know the difference between good and evil, and we can approve the will of God as we, you know, so the scriptures are always our source, right? Now, we can say wisdom, and I understand that. I mean, putting two and two together and two and two, not five to six, or four, excuse me. But that's all to be put forth by God's word. And it's interesting that, you know, there's many things I've changed my mind on over the years, let's say. Now, some maybe not perfectly right, but the scriptures have instructed certain areas of my life to where some of those things that at first I may have just totally abstained from because they were perhaps sins of my past that I had to, you know, whether it was some music issues or something like that. But then over the course of time, as I was instructed, I trust by the word of God that, you know, and I'm not saying you, I mean, just pick the thing on music, but.
Just don't pick on Bach or what, Molinoff.
So anyway, I mean, the scriptures are always our source of faith and practice, right?
Ultimately. Correct.
We may not always perfectly be there in practice or even in conscience, but we are instructed by the word of God, not by them.
So all of this, in theory sounds great. I mean, you got strong brother, weak brother, and you've got, okay, we're going to leave you to be before the Lord, to choose the route you're going to take and to have, you know, liberty of conscience and things of this sort. The issue comes in is when you have people in positions of authority. When I say people in positions of authority, I don't mean just the government. I mean people like me as a pastor. And I'm going to give you an example of this because it's very easy for people to influence your conscience.
Right.
Bind your conscience to think like them. It's one thing to have, you know, 500 member church when you got 50,000 other people online and you write in your blogosphere and things of this sort about how you feel. People ask, well, what are you going to do? Do you take the vaccine? Why don't you say, well, because of this and whatever. And then what begins to happen is you begin to influence people in a certain way by contempt. You don't maybe try to do it via contempt, but you're not even handed. And as much as I hate to do this, I'm going to go through a little bit of an article by my hero, John Piper, who violates that principle.
Who violates
the principle?
What I just talked about.
Mark.
Yes.
And
I want you to catch where he does that. I'm not going to spoon feed you on this. I want you to read it and see what he says. Right.
But even locally, I know someone who is personally influenced by his pastor in this issue, and I think pastors need to be careful what they say.
I agree. So here he is. He's writing an article, and it's called, I'm trying to make it small and bigger, but A Reason to be Vaccinated. And he says, freedom. Well, that sounds good. That's what we've been talking about. Galatians 5:1 and freedom. So let's kind of see what he has to say. He said, my aim in this article is to encourage Christians to be vaccinated. That's a swim. If they can do so with a good conscience and judicious medical warrant. So we already know what he wants people to do. He's up front. But he also has a caveat in there. If they can do it only with this, good conscience, and medical warrant. So whatever that means.
Is that the wisdom side of it?
Must be the wisdom side of it. Yeah. Okay. The people I have especially in view are those who are not vaccinated. So these are the people he's targeting. Because, now notice, this is just, I got to admire him for his effort here. Because he says, the people I have especially in view are those who are not vaccinated because of fear of being out of step with people they respect. Okay, so in his way of thinking, he's trying to help people who are not vaccinated, he thinks, but do it with a good conscience and medical warrant, to be vaccinated, and don't be fearful. Kind of like what we're talking about. Because I'm out of step with my church, or most of the people are vaccinated around me, or they're unvaccinated around me. I need to kind of stay with them, and I don't want to, you know, kind of rock the boat. I'm in GBF, and nobody's vaccinated. I'll go get vaccinated. People are not going to like me, kind of thing. So he's kind of targeting those people to say, hey, you should have freedom to do what you think in your conscience you should do. So I'm with him already. In that sense, he says, and in step with people they don't admire. He says, my message to them is simple. You are free. Now, in that sense, he's correct. But since he's targeting and says this is what he wants done, he's already played his hand that he already says being vaccinated is better than being unvaccinated. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I can have an opinion being unvaccinated and saying I think it's better to be unvaccinated. And I can have the same kind of influence on your conscience by saying that. Oh, Mark thinks I'm vaccinated. Jeez, I mean, he's pastor and he's been around long with me and yada, yada. And so you start thinking, well, there's a pressure on me to stay unvaccinated because of him. No. But he says up front, it's the other way for him. So he says, so I am not talking directly to everybody. Basically, it's to the unvaccinated. If the shoe fits, put it on. Check your conscience, consult your doctor, and go get vaccinated. If it doesn't, go cheerfully and cheerfully on your way. Cheerfully because over 4.5 million people have died from COVID-19 worldwide, including, he says, 700,000 Americans, and cheerfully because Christ makes it miraculously possible to love people by being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So, but anyway, as he goes through this, now what he's going to do here, now he's going to bring in the science. See, this is where the problem comes in. Before I get to the biblical argument for radical freedom, consider a few statistics that fuel the fire over which this article was cooked. Now, what's going to be wrong with that before I ever get to those statistics?
Well, what's wrong with, say again, that last sentence? What's wrong with what now?
Before I get to the statistics.
Okay. Right.
Okay. What do you think is going to take place with the statistics?
He's quoting other people. He hasn't done the research himself.
They're going to be slanted toward being vaccinated because he already says he wants people vaccinated.
First sentence. I mean, the first sentence. He's played his card.
And so now he's going to buttress from the medical perspective all the reasons why you should. So he's going to quote the Associated Press. He's going to quote the Evansville Courier Press. And it's all going to be all the people who are dying or unvaccinated and things of this sort. You can read through all of this. And then he says, when people respond to this increasingly clear reality. You're going to get language here. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because this man is in a position of authority. I look up to him. I mean, I love it. I got his books. This guy has done outside of Conrad is this guy who has influenced me probably more than anybody else. And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, you know, the very thing I just read before about binding the conscience and making sure your conscience is clear and free and that your conscience is free from outside influences that can make it go left or right. I don't mind trying to help people think through an issue, but not to adopt from me. When you get in that position and you write like this, to do this, I mean, if I came back to him and said, I'm not getting vaccinated, and I think it's God's will that I don't, he probably would say it's okay. He'd probably say, that's fine. But that's not how he writes the article.
Right.
He doesn't write it with an even-handedness. He doesn't quote from the frontline doctors here, all the statistics here about on the other way around about, you know, 40% of people dying now are vaccinated, double jab. He doesn't talk about any of that. Why? Because it doesn't quite fit, I'm going to say, the narrative of what he wants to do with the pushing and promoting the vaccination. But nevertheless, that's why it becomes a little jaundiced when you present an article like this, because it's going to, you can say, I just want people free. But in reality, you're saying, I want them free like me. I want your freedom should look like my freedom. It's like, that ain't freedom. Freedom has to come from Christ, and it has to be totally from Christ, and it has to be what Christ wants you doing within your sphere with your conscience, based upon the wisdom extracted from the Word of God. Like 1721, did you take this, the smallpox inoculation, or you don't? What do you do with this? Okay. And so I'm bringing this article up because he's the one talking about Christian freedom. And in reality, it's a subtle way. I don't want to say he's enslaving, but it's a subtle way to say, think like me, think like me. Yet using the buzzwords of freedom, freedom. And so as he talks about freedom, Peter summons the freedom and things of this sort. Let us, as people who are free, a lot of this I would agree with. I mean, yeah, that's good. This is good stuff, you know. The sons are called to be free. Let's see. Liberation from man is not exaltation of self. No problem. I'm with you. See, now he kind of gets more biblical based on how, you can go to desiringgod.org and you can read this, how it's supposed to be, you know, we're not going to boast in men, but he's trying to deliver people from the, he thinks, the influence of the unvaccinated. But yet his answer isn't to say, hey, maintain your freedom. His answer is be free now to get vaccinated. It's like, you shouldn't be pushing either side. You shouldn't be pushing the vaccination. Now, if a guy like Piper can make these kind of mistakes, we can make these kind of mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So I'm bringing that up to show that, not to show just Piper and his weakness. So as we go to the scriptures and we look at the necessity of you having a clear conscience, and part of that clarity of conscience is not letting another man get into your conscience. Let me ask a few questions about possibilities on these things. I got an article here from a guy on binding conscience. He talks about, he says, whenever we do this, we risk wrongly binding conscience, naming something as clear sin that God's law has left us free to deliberate and disagree about. This can cause impressionable believers to stumble by making them equate a particular action with obedience to God, when in fact there may be multiple ways of faithfully obeying God on that issue. He says, why is this dangerous? So dangerous that Paul angrily confronted the apostle Peter over it. There are at least five dangerous responses that can result from such conscience binding when it is not according to the word. Notice the first classification of people. Those of tender conscience may fall into needless fear that they're incurring God's wrath because they fail to behave in a certain way. There's a brand new Christian just starting off. Here's the pastor thundering from the pulpit about, you know, it's God's will for you to love your neighbor. And so you better be vaccinated or you don't love your neighbor. Now, he's going to hear that with a tender conscience and think, well, I guess I need to go get vaccinated or I don't love my neighbor. See, pastor shouldn't be saying that. I mean, you got consciences like that. I mean, that might be true for the pastor. Maybe he's thinking that I'm going to get vaccinated because I need to love my neighbor. But that's not his role to go and influence another person's conscience along those lines. Why? Because it's his conscience. And you're invading that. And he's going to bind himself to what you said instead of binding himself to what God's word says. Now, God's word didn't address vaccinations in specific. And so he's going to have to find out on his own. See, this is the hard part when you're in authority, that people who are in authority, you see them default to this all the time. You give them a little power and it goes to their head. Where for those who are really in authority under in God's kingdom, he who is first will be last. So if I had that kind of authority, I am definitely not going to have you kowtowing to it. That's not my role. My role is to put you on God and say, You need to find that out from God. You need to find what you need to do with this from the Lord. Well, I've been studying this. That's great. Now, all the studying is great. But what would he have you to do that will bring him the most glory? Because whatever it is, Romans 14:23, it has to be done in faith. And so he comes up, and I'm going to get to this question in a little bit. But this is a $64,000 question. But, you know, I still don't know what to do, Pastor. I still don't know what to do, Rich or Jack. You know, what am I supposed to do? Well, what do you do then? Here's a perfect bait to take. They don't know what to do, and they're coming to you, wanting you to tell them what to do. Don't take the bait. Now, I'm telling you that in the position of authority. You don't take the bait. You don't tell them what to do. I mean, I tell them what to do in the sense of going to God's word. I put them back on God's word. I just don't know. I've been praying about it. Then you need to pray some more about it. God will show you what you need to do. You will feel more of a freedom, see, to do this on the left versus this on the right, or this on this way versus this. It might be 60-40, whatever. And once again, it's discerning the will of God in all these different areas. I don't know whether to get circumcised or not because of this. What would God have you do? Why are you getting circumcised? Why are you getting vaccinated? I mean, you got to ask those basic questions. Now, if someone says, I'm getting vaccinated because I don't want to lose my job. And I hear that 9 times out of 10. But it's not good enough. I mean, it's practical. But here's a government coercing you to do something, and you hadn't thought twice that this person is telling you what to think and what to do, and it hasn't crossed your mind saying, excuse me, you've interfered into a sphere you have no right to interfere. If I came into your family and I told you saying, I'm sorry, we don't have Maytag dryers here. You have to buy a Whirlpool. I mean, Tracy, you will look at me and say, well, no, we haven't made that. We're going to keep. Well, what gives me the right to tell her to get a Whirlpool? I mean, that's not my sphere. You catch what I'm saying? And so when we think it is their sphere to come and tell us, and of course they'll talk about public health and hygiene and things of this sort, which is another question, because it's where you're going to find the disagreement among Christians. Some Christians say government has no business in the job of trying to regulate public hygiene. And then you have other people say, well, yeah, they do. I mean, you look in Leviticus 13 and 14, when there was a hygiene issue with leprosy, you put people outside the camp. You had God saying, look, you got to go use the bathroom. You bring your shovel with you. You dig a hole. You do this. There's personal hygiene. You see God telling the people what to do, and it keeps diseases from them. And at the same time, you're saying, well, all that makes sense. But the issue comes in is, what happens when people in positions of authority start to regulate that on the basis of public health? How far can they go? Where's the line to be drawn until it starts interfering into the sphere of your conscience? And especially in this area of vaccination, where it comes to something being put in your body, which you, this is your body. This is sacrifice to God, Romans 12. And so, you know, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, what goes into your body. I mean, he's talking about meat and drink. How much more some sort of, you know, chemical or whatever. And whatever the rationale might be to prevent this or to health that or whatever, it still comes down, you have to make the call of what goes into your body. It's like the government can't tell you to eat hot dogs 2 days a week. And yet other people are here to eat steak. They can't regulate what goes into your body food-wise. They can't regulate what goes into your body anything. Why? Because once again, that's a transgression of the spheres. Does that make sense? Now, if you don't see it as a transgression of the spheres, then the issue is going to become, well, whatever the government tells me to do, I'm just going to do it. Well, why not just pinch the incense and worship Caesar then, because the government tells you to do it? Because there comes a point where you see in the book of Acts, you have to obey God rather than men. Because they cannot cross this line that they're attempting to try to cross. So one of the groups of people are those with a tender conscience. Another group would be those who tend toward complacency, may feel false assurance that they're spiritually all right because they, in fact, have toed the line of the outward behavior being condemned. You can't. It's condemned to not. What was it? Socrates says the unexamined life is, you know, not worth living. You should examine your life. That's Socrates. He wasn't even a Christian. So a Christian, Ephesians 5, is to walk circumspectly. You're supposed to walk in such a way you can give a defense for the things that you do and say and think. Why do you do those things? Defense, 1 Peter 3:15. I do these things because, and you should have an answer. And the default answer should always be, Because in a clear conscience, this is how I serve God. Because if I did the opposite of that, I couldn't serve God with a clear conscience. And it might be just based on wisdom saying, I see people doing not this. They do something different for me. But for me, this is the wisest way, which means the wisest way is always going to be built upon the most basic foundation, which is what? God gets more glory this way than he does with plan B. He gets more glory from me doing this than me doing that. If you can't come to that conclusion on the things that you do, then you haven't thought through what you do, which means you haven't thought through what you do and are doing it by faith. You're just doing things. Now, I'm not saying I got to analyze my putting on my socks by faith. I mean, I get it. There's some things we just do naturally. And we're thinking, I got a clear conscience. I'm doing these things. I'm good to go. You know, Tracy wants to cook meatballs instead of meatloaf. Okay, great. She might not pray, you know, and fast for 3 days about what she's going to cook. I get that. But in the back of her mind, though, she has to be able to say, I can do this with a clear conscience. What was the last time she served meatballs and everybody got sick? She might be thinking twice about that this time because, well, this might not be the best thing to do. And so at that point, she might say, I don't really feel right about doing this or that. Well, then at that point, she can't do it. You can't go against that red light, green light thing, especially you get a red light that says stop. Does this make sense? So one of the things we haven't answered is what are those wisdom principles that we seek to determine that we base things on? Now, sometimes some of the wisdom things can be common sense. You drive on the right-hand side of the road. There's a good reason for that. I don't really need to walk in faith. And I do, but at the sense of, okay, this is the laws of the land. Now, why aren't these laws of the land being pushed back against? Some people come and say, well, you need to take the vaccination. What's the sign on the road? I say, seat belts and vaccinations both save lives. And so they equate wearing a seat belt to being vaccinated, where there's a big difference between wearing a seat belt and being vaccinated. But see, in the lost world, they don't see a difference at all because to them it's saving a life. What would be the difference between a seat belt wearer and a vaccination or jabber, being jabbed? Or not being.
Well, you can do and undo a seatbelt, but once you've got a vaccine in you, you can't get it out. You can't get the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah. If you're going to wear the seatbelt for the rest of your life, yeah, then that becomes a different situation. So there's a lot of disparity between the analogies, but it's put out there to try to make the point saying if you really love your neighbor, if you really want to, you know, protect your life, then this is the way to go. Where I can always turn around and say, and you hear all the articles, I see them all the time. Here were two people that were unvaccinated and they refused to be vaccinated and they died. Well, I could turn the argument around and say, and here were people, same people, if they had gotten vaccinated 6 months earlier, they would have died then. At least they lived six more months not being vaccinated and dying when they caught COVID. See, I can play out the hypothetical to make it fit my narrative, just like they can play it out to fit their narrative. And they're going to play it out to fit their narrative, saying, oh, you see, they wouldn't have died if they had gotten vaccinated. You don't know that. My argument would have been they would have died a year earlier if they had gotten vaccinated. Now, how do you counter that? You don't, because it's a hypothetical. I can make the hypothetical do all kinds of things. I can make these people, well, because they've got it, now they spread it to 40 people, and 39 of them have died. I can make it all kind of weirdness. The whole point is not to play the hypothetical game. The problem or the issue comes down to, what would God have me to do with this vaccine? Now, I have to give a defense for it. My first defense in that is the defense of number one, always is going to be Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I do this based on faith. God controls my conscience. He doesn't want me to take the vaccine. Now, when you say that to anybody, how are they going to counter God with science? Yeah, but Fauci says, oh, I got it. So Fauci trumps God when God says, don't do this. And no one's going to trump God. So on one hand, this is the answer. That's the go-to trump card that you can always put on the table. But it has to be true that God doesn't want me to get the vaccine. Now, if I don't know God doesn't want me to get the vaccine, then the trump card doesn't become God. And I've got this strong conviction. Now, some people do. It's fetal cells from aborted babies, and they're in this, and I mean, they're just convinced, they've read, you know, 50 articles, and they're convinced this is what's in every shot, J&J, Moderna, the whole thing, and they can't take it. Great. And look, they might be right, and here I am with my lack of knowledge, and they could be saying, let me tell you, aborted fetal cells, I am not taking something from aborted fetal cells, whatever. And so, I get it, and so we see the basis of the rationale is that I can't do this because I'm violating my conscience because I'm taking you know, aborted baby parts just entering my body. I can understand connecting the dots, but even that's not good enough. What has to be the number one dot is God doesn't want me to do this. Now, if I can't use that one and I've got to use wisdom, this would be a good one. If it is, that's true. If I don't know if that's true about aborted fetal cells or whatever, then there has to be another aspect of wisdom on why I'm taking the shot or why I'm not taking the shot and how, here's a catch, that wisdom is going to glorify God. Not how that wisdom is going to save my life. It's how it's going to glorify God. Because, I mean, in some ways, if you think about it, you had a healthcare worker last year working in the hospital. They were risking their lives trying to take care of people. Who walks into, I mean, it's like a firefighter going into a fire building. Who goes into the building? You're trying to get people out of the building. These people are going into the building. But you know what their purpose is. You know the healthcare worker's purpose is, the fireman's purpose is. And so whatever it is, when, you know, if I take a vax or don't take a vax, what is that purpose? The purpose has to be to glorify God. And number two, I'm thinking about, yeah, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about those around me. I'm thinking about my testimony to them. I'm not trying to be foolish in what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. I can never be foolish. I'm told not to be foolish in Ephesians 5. I'm told to do what? To walk in wisdom. So some of these groups that hear, whether the Piper article or some of these others that just say, oh, you're crazy, just go ahead and take the vax because the government says to do it, hasn't thought through this thing. Or Fauci says to do it. See, that's a sphere of influence. Medical authority, governmental authority, pastoral authority. Whatever the authority sphere is, that's not going to be where you hang your hat on why you do what you do and all this other stuff. You've got to have the ultimate authority over all of that, which is God. And God says we have to walk in wisdom based upon what we believe, not just what the science says or the logic says, the common sense says, but I can't be influenced not just by them, but by the, and Piper's right about this, by the common people around me who might not all be vaxxed or who might all be vaxxed. I don't know. I might go to a church and everybody's vaxxed. Or you go to some place and they look at you crazy because, you know, you're not vaccinated. Once again, it gives me an opportunity to tell them why I'm not vaccinated. It has nothing to do with the vaccine. I won't be talking about the vaccination. I'll be talking about God. And I'll be talking about serving him in wisdom. And it gives me an opportunity to kind of turn the shotgun around a little bit. And I'll turn and say something like, well, God doesn't want me to be vaccinated. Now, why did you get vaccinated? And you know something? I bet I won't hear anything about God. I'll hear something about medicine. I'll hear something about statistics. I'll hear something about, well, I wanted to keep my job and yada, yada. And so I'll buttonhole them on that. I see. So you did it because of mammon. You served the God of mammon, and mammon told you to get vaccinated because you're going to lose your mammon if you didn't get vaccinated. Is that what I'm hearing? Now, at that point, we're going God on God here. We're not going on stats and everything. I'm going on his conscience, and what his conscience should be bound to, it should be bound to God, and it ain't. It's bound to these other pragmatic things and science and whatever else, things that can be good, even the money situation good. Yeah, I'm supposed to provide my family. Yeah, but not at the expense of a clear conscience. You got people dying here. It's martyrs' death. What do you think about their families? They're supposed to deny Christ to keep food on the table for their families? Where do you find that in the Bible? You pick up your cross, you follow Jesus Christ, and that's an individual cross. Your kids aren't attached to it. That's your cross, and you have to die on it. And when they come for your family, they come for them. Now they come for you. That's what you have to do. But you keep your conscience clear. And if you got to give a defense on why you do what you do, that should be the first thing out of your mouth about God. Even if it's wisdom, I believe this is the wisest way for me to serve God with what I know right now. Especially, here's the catch. Here's the $64,000 answer to the whole night. If you don't know what to do, stay where you're at. If you don't know whether to get the vaccine or to not get the vaccine, you need to stay right where you're at. Because God is Lord of your conscience, and he could provide you with the knowledge to actually go to the left or to the right, and he hasn't done it. And so you stay where you're at, and you serve him right where you're at, because you're serving him right where you're at. Yeah, but right where I'm at means I'm unvaccinated. Well, then that's how you serve him. Where do I get this principle from? You should know. 1 Corinthians 7. Were you called as a slave? Be content. You're the Lord's free man. Were you called as free? Then you don't need to be enslaved. In other words, I don't need to get out of my current condition in order to be able to serve God better. That's why I'm disagreeing with Piper's article. That's why he's telling them to get vaxxed. No, you leave them alone. 1 Corinthians 7. because of the present condition, leave them alone. Yeah, if you're enslaved, you can do that. That's better. Great. But at the same time, he's not telling them if you don't do it, you're in sin. And that's the catch that I have a problem with Piper's article. It's influencing in a certain direction, and he shouldn't be doing that. What he should be influencing them is to find God's will for your life right here when it comes to being vaccinated. Feedback. I'm done. Rich.
You mentioned earlier question. Red lights and green lights. Conscience, red lights, and conscience, green lights.
Right.
Where there's no clear didactic teaching one way or the other, and this scripture starts saying something.
Right.
Gray areas. or nothing specific, really. Yeah. Like rock music.
Tattoos.
Something like that. Music with syncopation, let's say, whatever, okay? And then you look at the word, the wisdom, and there's seemingly but every time you either try to do it or give thanks for it, something gnaws at you. It's very subjective. It's a very subjective thing, and you can't. You're trying to maybe explain it away or justify it somehow, and still, that something eats away at you, and just disallows you again from proceeding down. Now,
you need to stay away from it. That right there not faith.
It's a red light. That's a red light.
That's
sort
right.
of thing.
That's a red light.
It's just it creates doubt and
that's
fear
right.
is the result of proceeding down that. And I don't know if I can say that there's no knowledge of the certainty of it being okay or not, but something tells you. And that could be a misguided conscience, but I think Luther gives us some light on that. If I can't proceed, you know, then My conscience is bound. Let's say it's not bound by the word of God. Let's say it's bound by a feeling. And you just can't go that direction, although you can't find any just...
Or fear.
Yeah, your name.
Right.
Yeah, it just sure. puts you in a state of, I'm just not comfortable with that. Is that a red light, green light issue? Is that
yes.
a ignorance? Is that a fear?
Yes.
What?
It's a red light, green light issue. Mm-hmm. Even if a person, here's a person, let's say here's this girl. She comes into the Christian faith. Okay. And, because of her past, she has a fear of X or something. And so when her conscience comes into play about engaging in X, whatever it might be, she just, I can't do that. And because of her association with her past, that's where her conscience is. Now, we know there's no such boogeyman out there that she should be fearing. But it's not my job to convince her of that, to change her conscience, to get her to think like me with my conscience. I get it where she's at. But as long as she's respecting that fear and that conscience is going red light, she's saying, I'm not going to go against my red light conscience, everything's in order. If that conscience is red light based upon faulty knowledge, I mean, think about it. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul basically tells the weak brethren, he goes, you know, we know that there's no God but one, but you got these weak brethren think that some way, shape, form, that idol's got some sort of hole over on that meat, and they can't eat that meat. And he says, we know better. We know that ain't happening. But he says to the weak brother who thinks it is, now think about it, he's working off bad knowledge, but he says he thinks it's true, and it violates his conscience, and when he eats, he can't eat. So think about it. Paul's not trying to correct his erroneous knowledge about idols and their connection with meat. When you got a weaker brother, he just accepts him where he's at with his faulty reasoning and says, you got a red light for your conscience, you better not violate it. You're serving Christ. You're serving Christ. You better serve it with a green conscience, a green light. You can't. Now, in his maturity, he might learn, and then that knowledge base that informs the conscience, he begins to change over time. But until then, he's going to be able, his conscience has to be subject to the word of God, and it has to be subject to clarity, and that clarity of I can't, it has to be clear. It has to be a clean conscience. I can't do something with doubt. I can't do something with some sort of fear or I'm fearing this person, I'm fearing that person. That's not how you serve God. You have got to serve God with, and that's why I ask people saying, let me ask you this. Because many times people don't even understand what a clear conscience is. Or they don't understand, you know, would God want them to go left or right. So I use a very simple phrase and I say, where do you feel the freest? Galatians 5:1. Where do you feel the freest in this decision? Do you feel freer going this way and doing this? Or do you feel freer doing that? Well, I really don't know. Then that's what you need to pray about. Ask the Lord to give you the freedom to do one over the other. Now, it's not going to be 100-0. I mean, that'd be easy peasy. It's probably going to be 60-40, but you'll feel freedom to be able to go in this direction. I just feel more free that this is going to be more glorifying to God, because he freedom is based on glorifying God, if I get the vax than if I don't get the vax. And if someone tells me that, I'll say, you know something? You need to get the vax. Yeah, but you don't have the vax. What does that got to do with anything? You just told me you were freer to do this than to do that, and you can glorify God doing this than that, then you need to do that. That ain't hard. You need to do that. That's what God does. It doesn't violate God's word, but it does violate God's word, so it says, well, then you need to do what you're feeling freer to do. Hold on, I got a few hands up. Yes.
So, like me, I just don't want to. I mean, I don't really have a political slant on it. And I'm ashamed to say I'm not thinking, well, it's more glorious to God if I don't. I just don't want to. I don't take flu shots. I don't go to the doctor unless something hurts. You know, and so it's like, I just don't want to. So does that make me a bad Christian if I'm thinking, well, I just don't want to, but I don't get the next thought to, and God, I believe that you don't want me to, and it's going to give you the glory, and I can serve you better if I don't get the vax, you know. Now, with my kids or other people, I don't tell them what to do, you know. I just, you know, let them talk and go, well, you need to pray about it. But I don't even pray. I didn't pray about it. I just, like, you know, I don't trust the medical field at all. And I haven't been to the doctor in 5 years. And, you know, it's God's grace that nothing hurts and I'm healthy and I don't want to.
Well, that's a great question, because you probably got most people like that. So let's address it. So what happens when you're just dealing with a situation where you don't really have to, you don't really deal with the situation? You kind of wake up every day and say, I'm not thinking pro-vax, anti-vax. I just don't think vax at all. And so here, Mark's kind of making me think, I need to start thinking about vax. No. Mark's just saying, though, if it comes on your radar, and like right now, you with a clear conscience go about your daily life without taking a vax or a flu shot or any kind of shot. It could
but
be anything.
Without thinking about what God wants is what my
point is, you can do that. You can say, you know, Lord, I haven't really prayed about this, but help me. I mean, if I'm supposed to be doing something different, show me. Show me by way of freedom that I'm supposed to be doing something different than what I'm doing now. And leave it alone. And then let him do his work in doing that. He'll guide your way. All of a sudden, you'll be crossing over this and this and this and saying, wow, you know, I hadn't only been thinking about this before, but now it's just inundating you left and right, and I ruined it. Now you're thinking stuff. Or you might go back to saying, you know, I prayed that prayer, and I mean, 2 weeks from later, I'm still not thinking about it. Okay, well, then keep on doing what you do. Joe.
I'm a black sheep in the bunch. I took the shots back in February.
No black sheep. You're a good sheep.
When I first saw it, the white sheep went up. Pink sheep. I heard about pink sheep the other day, first time. I didn't know I had such a thing. But anyway, was supposed to eat the pink sheep. You ever hear that in the Bible? You know, I saw that so well. But anyway, I took the shots. Now, I never looked at it as a spiritual thing. Take a flu shot every year. I mean, I went to the military. They gave me shots. Well, I had my say-so in that. And unless they put me in, kicked me out, just on a discharge, that's what I got out of that. And then when I went to school, I took shots. So I never thought of vaccines as being a spiritual thing. And right now, I'm still not sure it's a spiritual thing. But what I don't like, what I see now has happened, is forcing people to take shots, and they lose their job if they don't. Now, that is a government overreach. I know Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. But that has bothered me a lot, to see that being done to people.
Now, be honest,
they don't
you
have the right to do that to people.
Now, think about that, Joe. To be honest, that's really the issue more than the vax. A lot of people aren't doing that because of that. It's like, this has nothing to do with the vaccine now. Now, Caesar's coming in here.
People running.
Right, right.
It's, we know that.
It's one thing for someone to come in and say, hey, it's flu season and there's flu shots, and you're feeling, well, that you want to go get it or not, you just need to do it, you don't do it type of thing. But when someone comes in,
yeah, I still don't know.
Now, remember, we got a great example in the Bible. I think it's in Acts 16. Now, we've said this before, and it's perfect, where Paul picks up a worker that can help him in the ministry, and his name is Timothy. Now, Timothy's got, you know, Greek father. He's got, you know, Jewish mom and grandmother and all that. And so he never was circumcised. So Paul's taking him along, and Paul's not just going into churches to preach. That'd be no problem. He could leave him the way he is. But he's going to the synagogues. And so when you're bringing people in the synagogues and you want the people in the synagogue to listen to you, one of the things that's just going to be one of those mental hang-ups for the people is they're going to make sure or want to know, kind of like the vaccine, hey, is everybody in your group circumcised? And so he knew that going in, so he had Timothy circumcised. Nobody told him to circumcise Timothy. There was no government overreach. There was no mandate. So he did it out of expediency so that it would be fine when they went into the synagogue to preach the gospel. Fast forward to Titus being another worker in Galatians chapter 2. And Titus is now with Paul. And Titus is going, and he's there at Antioch. And the Judaizers come down, and they say to Paul, you got to circumcise this guy. Here comes the mandate. Here comes the government overreach. Or this guy is not going to be right with God. Paul says, we didn't put up with him for an hour. He calls them false brethren. So the issue wasn't the circumcision. The issue was the mandate. And so it's the same thing here. The issue in the backs, the issue is the coercion. And when here's the problem with coercion. It robs you of your freedom. And Galatians 5:1 is clear. Right. You have to be free. You're a son. And in your freedom, with freedom of conscience, means nobody can tell me in my conscience whether to do X, Y, and Z before God. Only God can do that. So Joe hit the nail on the head in that sense, saying it ain't really about the facts. It's about that aspect of the coercion. And you see Paul with Titus. You see Paul with Timothy. One, he was in an atmosphere of coercion. And he wouldn't do it. Another, he was in an atmosphere of expediency, and it's going to help the brother. And they never said anything about it. So, well, let's do it. It's going to help the brother now. And as we all know, if they would have never coerced anything, you'd probably have 10 times more people taking the vaccine than what they're doing now. And wherever the lost man does to fight against the government, that's on him. We have to do what we do because we're called by Jesus Christ. And our marching orders are to have a clear conscience. And you can't have one, I'm here to tell you, if it's not based on freedom. Because when you go to make that decision, 60-40, I'm going to ask you that question. Where are you the freest? And if you're sitting here kowtowing to somebody who's coercing you, you're not free. You're not going to be able to make that decision and make that call, which then means I know you're not serving God, and whatever's not a faith is sin. Anybody on Zoom have a question before I turn it over to somebody else?
Yeah, I do, Mark.
Devin, go ahead. Shoot.
Okay, so with the vaccine, you know, I feel if it was, you know, up to me, I'm free in the sense of I wouldn't feel like I was sinning taking the vaccine, but I'm definitely anti-vaccine. Now this is, I think it's kind of, you know, in my opinion, I mean, there's just not enough information and all this other stuff out there. And then, you know, I hear on the political side, I don't know if I can trust what they're giving out and that kind of thing. So, that's more on the lines of why I choose not to get it. Now, Claire kind of said, kind of how I feel about it. It's not really that spiritual for me as far as whether to or whether to not. My question for you is, and just out of my curiosity, I'm trying to figure out what would be the Christian's hang up spiritually if to where it would bother their conscience to take the vaccine. Like I said, And it was mentioned, you know, we take other medicines, other medications and all this and that. But what about, what is it about the vaccine that would prick the conscience to make you feel like you're not doing something right before God? That's my question.
Yeah, and the answer, I'm going to go back to, it's not the vaccine. It's the coercion. Take cough medicine, for example. I got a bad cough, I'm taking cough. You know, okay, great, no problem. Like what you said, take an aspirin if I got a headache. All these things make sense. We practice medicine all the time within our house, and we trust doctors and things of that sort. The issue comes in where all of a sudden I have somebody coming in telling me I'm going to lose my job if I don't take the cough syrup. Now, when I have a coercion like that, and somebody coming in and invading my sphere, I'm going to go to Tracy's house and tell her to sell her Maytag and buy the Whirlpool. At that point, the issue in the appliances, the issue is, what in the world is this guy coming in here, violating the sphere that we have here in the family, and telling me to do this based upon him being a pastor? See, that's the issue. The issue is that, not the backs. That's why, look, we've got people in our church who've been vaccinated. We got people in our church who haven't been vaccinated. That's not the issue. It's not to rat out them or rat out somebody who's not or who is. It's to, when you make those decisions, remember, even though in the, look, the government might be mandating it, and yet you have total freedom in Christ to get the vaccine. Knock yourself out and get the vaccine, because your rationale, once again, is based upon your freedom in Jesus Christ. You know Christ wants you to do these things. So everything's great. So notice, it's not pro-vax or anti-vax. It's freedom of conscience to be able to make that call.
I know. I understand. I just, my question is, I'm just curious, like, what would be the, I mean, is there something there I'm not seeing? What would be the conviction of someone who, even if they're forced, let's, you know, I have people, friends in the military who denied the vax for a while. They basically cornered the guy and was like, you know, he finally got the vax. I mean, I would totally disagree with this, you know, but he got the vax just to, you know, basically just to get him out there, out his hair. Now, he's not a professing Christian, but it's just an example of, I get what you're saying about forcing these vax on people.
On why they get it. Oh, I'll keep my job. Well, I don't want to get out the Army. I mean, I get all the practical reasons on why they get the vax. And my point is, just like what you said, Devin, is, well, I expect that from non-Christians. They're not going to put God first.
But as a Christian, what would prick the conscience, even in that sense of, you know, I'm like, what's an example of something that would make you feel not right before God to get the vaccine? Is what I'm.
Might do field tissue things from that aspect.
Well, you could have people who believe the vaccine contains fetal issue parts from aborted babies.
Got you.
Part of their rationale. I don't want a thought that's got that in there. It could, a second one could be, well, practically speaking, it goes against common sense. I've had COVID. I have the immunities, and I'm going to get something now that just doesn't make sense. It's kind of like, I have a measles. I've already had the measles. Why do I need a measles shot? Doesn't make sense. So for some people, it's just a lack of common sense. Why would I take something that's going to go against common sense? Others would be, oh, no, I'm not taking it because it has aborted fetal parts. So whatever their rationale might be, or how they give their wisdom for not taking the vax, or taking the vax. It could be either way. Whatever their wisdom might be, it still has to coalesce and all go back to, if you're a Christian, has to go back to God, and whatever's not of faith is sin. So it has to be done in faith. That's always going to be the most basic DNA on why we do what we do. And kind of like what Claire says, it doesn't mean I analyze every single thing that I do. It just means that whatever I do, I have to maintain a clear conscience. And look, most of the time, 24/7, we're just walking along, having a clear conscience, you know, doing our thing. And I'm not praying about every single little thing in my life to get God's green light for me in my conscience. As long as I don't get a red light, I'm defaulting to everything's green light, because I'm called to freedom in that sense. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, should I wear the brown socks or the black socks? And what would God want me to do? And I can't go to work until I get an answer from God. I'm not pedantic like that. Everything is a green light, and I'm good to go until I get a red one. And the red one is usually going to have a biblical principle based upon it, or it's going to have a foolishness versus wisdom principle based upon it. It could be whatever. It might violate just common sense. It might violate the things that we're talking about here with the fetal cells. It could be all kinds of things that crop up, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I can't do that, because if that's true, well, then I definitely can't say, if that's true, and then you go research it and you think it is, and then that's going to shape your conscience, and yeah. All of a sudden now you can't do it. And then it's like, oh, but my job requires me to have the vax, or yeah, what was it? I found a place the other day where I think it was a restaurant. They had a sign saying, if you're vaxxed, don't come in. You're not welcome if you're vaxxed.
Wow.
And so it's just the other way around. So, I mean, it can go both ways. And it's like, okay, I mean, I get it. I mean, they're just trying to push back. So I don't want to enter into that fray. My fray is to have a witness for Jesus Christ and to make sure that I give a good defense of why I do what I do with a clear conscience. And I get people are going to always push back on me on the practical side or the medical side or the logical side. I get that. And so with that, I mean, I don't mind trying to have an answer along those lines, but my bottom line answer is going to be, well, because in faith, this is what I do. And I can tell them, saying, I've got good friends or I got family who are vaccinated. I'm not. And you know something? They got a holier walk than me and they're vaccinated. So it doesn't mean that, hey, because I'm not vaccinated. No, it's how they reached their conclusions of what they did. They did it in faith, in prayer, seeking the Lord, whatever. All things have been created by God is good. As he says in 1 Timothy 4, and you go from there. If I don't think this thing created by man is not good, I can't take it because I'm going to be violating a principle of my conscience, doing something that I can't in good faith do. Okay. And look, that was put into our laws in the First Amendment to protect that liberty of conscience in people because they realized, I mean, look, I got Jehovah's Witnesses who don't take blood transfusions. Here's a guy dying on the table and needs a blood transfusion, and as a Jehovah's Witness, he can't take one. Now, what do you do if you're an emergency room doctor there and you know this can save his life? Do you violate his conscience and you give him the blood transfusion? Or you let him die on the table?
Die on the table, I reckon.
Yeah, now, I'm imposing myself on him, you see. And, of course, if I don't know this, I mean, I'll give him the blood transfusion. Of course, I didn't know. But if I know these things going in, I'm not going to violate his conscience. That's a sanctity. That's a holy of holies of that man. And that man would have told me if he was conscious, you better let me die. You better not give me blood. Okay. Your call. And that, of course, is a travesty to the world. They say, oh, no, saving life is the highest goal of all things. No, it isn't. Serving God is the highest goal of all things. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, you glorify God in your body. You do that. Or martyrs wouldn't make sense to us. Life isn't the highest goal in our life. Serving God and glorifying Him is. They don't have a category. So they're never going to put that there. Always going to put saving life in life. And which is a good one. It's just not the final one for us. For them it is. Good question, Devin. Anybody else?
Thanks, Mark.
Sure. Come on, Jay. I know you got one out there somewhere.
Saving life unless it's a feeding.
I know it. Jesus. Anybody else? Anything else? I mean, yeah, I hope I was kind of clear on some of this.
Now, Mark, you weren't saying that just because the government is mandating it, it's a reason to say no. Because the government mandates all kinds of things, and we
correct.
Don't say no to it.
Right. That's
so, because you were kind of saying, well, now, if they're going to tell me to do it, then.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And once again, there has to be, and I think a lot of times, this is where sometimes Christians can get a little boondoggle a little bit. It's simply because the government mandates it that we're automatically supposed to obey everything that they mandate. No, once again, because I have to analyze that to make sure it's not infringing on the spheres of authority. You got the family sphere, you got the church sphere, you got the governmental sphere. I get all of that. And so if I think it's infringing on the sphere I have before God with my conscience, to do X, Y, and Z, well, then, yeah, my reasoning on not obeying a mandate is going to be that, and it has to be that. Now, using Lori's point, let's say, for example, I don't know, guy comes over here from England, and he's just got this big conviction that he has to drive on the left-hand side of the road, because that's how they do in England. Well, we're going to tell him, saying, well, we're not all going to change the laws, bro, because you have this conviction from, you know, you say from God or something, you got to drive on the left-hand side of the road. My advice to you is to go back to England if that's what you got to do. But kind of like what Lori brought out is that a lot of these things, they're not going to change because we understand why that law's there and how it's supposed to regulate traffic and it's supposed to save lives. You got to stop signs and these are mandates and things of this sort that we're, you know, called to obey. But we also know that when higher principles are involved, a lot of these smaller laws get violated and should be in order for the higher principle to be involved. You watch an ambulance on the road, you watch how many traffic laws he violates, as he should. He's trying to get a person, save his life, to the hospital. Yeah, he will do 90 on an interstate. Yeah, he'll come to a traffic light that's red and go through it. And we all understand. It's not like, oh, my gosh, he's violating the mandate of the government. No, we get that. Even the government would understand that. My point is that when these things roll up to the sphere of the family or the conscience or whatever, the government should back off and say, we get that too. This is for you to make. And if they would say, if they would just say that and saying, look, we really think this saves lives. We're going to make that choice with you. You have to make that call. And we've got to go from there. There would be no problem. There wouldn't be a vaccine. This would be like the flu season. Everything would be okay. Sure. I mean, they don't mandate you vaccinate babies. I mean, at the same time, but yet this, and it's like, and the, I don't say the pretense is, it's got to be public health. And then when you realize, especially when the evidence begins to show that it's just as many vaccinated as unvaccinated, sometimes more people dying, it's like, okay, something's not right with the law. It's like saying you need to drive on the right-hand side of the road and the left-hand side of the road, and they don't give a rhyme or reason on which one it is. It's like, well, this law doesn't make any sense anymore. And so when I get on the road, I'm going to drive what I think is going to be safe for me and my family on whether it's left or right, depending on where I see cars coming now, because the government can't get its act together and tell me left or right-hand side of the road. And so in a lot of ways, this is where we're at. And so it produces a lot of doubt. It produces a lot of fear. And it produces a lot of thinking, second-guessing on other kind of motives. This is just overreach, or this is just trying to control, or whatever. And you start, because nobody in their right mind does these things unless they have ulterior motives to do something a little bit more nefarious. But what Lori brings up is true. It's not just simply because it's mandated. You got to push back. No, it's not that, because there's a lot that the government does mandate. It's when they cross the line into the spheres of, it'd be like, what was that judge ordered the pastor in Canada?
Yeah.
That when he preaches a sermon, he's got to preach the COVID restrictions in every sermon. That guy's crossed the line. You can't tell a man to do that in a pulpit. I would defy it on principle. See, now this is what Paul did in Galatians 2. He defied it on principle. He defied Peter publicly. In other words, now, not only will I not obey it, I will expose it. I will now go and do the exact opposite and make it public to show you that you have violated the sphere crossing, and I'm not going to kowtow to it. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just trying to show that, kind of like what Paul did in Galatians, saying we're not going to be controlled by that type of tyranny. Just like if I come into y'all's house and tell you to buy a whirlpool, that's tyranny. From a pastor to a, you know, parishioner telling them what they can and can't, it's like, that's not no authority to do something like that. But that's just kind of an absurd example. But that would be like crossing the lines of the spheres, if that makes sense. Good point. Anybody else? I don't know if this kind of helped or not tonight, but I really wanted to kind of drive home the point of just, we really need to go before God on our decision-making on these things, number one. And number two, if you're not clear-cut on what God would have you do, that's okay, too. Whatever you're doing now, if you still have a green light to do, then do it. Kind of like 1 Corinthians 7. If you were called in this, then continue doing it in that. And for me, I was called in the sense of saying, okay, I feel way more comfortable and freer unvaxxed than I do vaxxed. Now, if I die from COVID 4 months from now and I'm unvaxxed, then so be it. I made those choices based upon the freedom I have in Christ.
Amen.
I'm not going back on that and saying, oh, I wish I would have gotten vaxxed. No, I'm not. That would be based on pragmatism or something, or knowing a crystal ball to know the future. I'm not. I'm not trying to do something foolish, but at the same time, I am definitely going to protect my freedom in Christ. And that's the whole bottom line for us as Christians.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Jake.
Okay. I believe in trusting God in this, and that's what we're doing, and also using a sound mind. And somebody wrote and told me it's just a fictitious story about a guy on the roof of his house, and it was flooding. And a boat came along and said, jump in a boat, and I'll save you. And the guy said, no, I'm trusting the Lord. And the boat left, and a little boat came later and said, come on aboard, I'm going to save you. And he said, nope, I'm trusting the Lord. And the helicopter came, same thing. And then the flood came up, and the guy drowned. And he asked the Lord, he said, well, what happened? I was trusting you. And the Lord said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. You didn't get in. So what about that approach where here's a safety net, a vaccine, and we say, no, we don't want the vaccine. I'm trusting the Lord.
Yeah, well, of course. It's a funny illustration, but it's also flawed in the sense that technically, if the man's really trusting the Lord, it doesn't mean that he'll get in the boat or get in the helicopter. If he's really trusting the Lord, then God has given him that conscience at that time to do what he's doing. And he shouldn't do anything different. Now, his reasoning and rationale might be flawed, and I get that. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses is flawed when it comes to blood transfusion. Okay, I get that. But what I got to at least admire is that he's willing to die to keep his conscience clear. Now, that, let me tell you something. You had people that got burned at the stake for something as simple as being rebaptized. Now, how simple is that just to say, hey, you got baptized when you were a baby by the Catholics. You're a Christian now. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone and everything's fine. You got a wife and five kids you got to provide for. You're a blacksmith. You don't want to kind of jeopardize that. Just leave it alone. But I know you became a Christian, a year ago, and now you want to be, baptized. Just in your mind, why can't your conscience in your mind just count the Catholic baptism when you were a baby as the baptism now? And they wouldn't do that. And the Anabaptist, which means rebaptizer, said, no, I'm a believer now. I need to be baptized. And when they were caught by the Catholics and charged, they got burned at the stake. Now, you would think, say, geez, how silly is that? I mean, they could have just done that. But he kept his conscience clear. That's the whole point. So using Jay's illustration, the guy on the roof or whatever, I mean, unless he had some, and I'm sure, let's say for some reason, there was some, religious reason for him to stay on the roof with his conscience. And he did everything that he's supposed to do. As silly as it might sound, because he goes to heaven and God says, I sent, two boats and a helicopter. God wouldn't say that. I mean, if you really want to doctor up the illustration, he'd say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because I gave you this conscience and you're supposed to do this and you did it and you didn't go against it. Well done. And so it's like, well, God wouldn't say that. Yeah, you don't know that. I'm just using your hypothetical situation so I can change the illustration to make it fit my narrative. If I want to. That's the good things about hypothetical. See, we can always do all kinds of things too. So. But anyway, the bottom line, we have to make sure that what we do, we have a green light before God. And that green light, many times, you have to pray over. Other times, it's just normal, everyday course like you talked about, life in general. I don't have a red light to go and stop and get vaccinated or to not get vaccinated. I just feel this is the right thing to do. And it's God led me to do it. So.
Just a small comment. Just no matter what side person is on, there has been some robbery, no doubt, stealing of authority. And that's the main thing. You've got to go with the authority of God and not let any man or government.
Right.
And speaking of, I got to agree with
anybody else? Story close.
I was just going to say, I don't know if anything has affected the church in a way. If this thing has from a global,
right.
I mean, even if you don't have an opinion, you have an opinion.
Yeah.
It's just, right. It's just, I mean, on all the bad of it, it's forcing two Christians to think.
Right.
It's almost impossible not to be influenced by people you respect or you look up to as far as their position, because, they've thought through it,
right.
And the different aspects,
right.
Components of it. Yeah, at the same time, I've never seen anything that's been everybody kind of individually,
right.
What their decision is,
Right.
You can influence and have a majority or even group things you want to call it that, but it still comes down to where you stand with before the Lord, as an individual.
And as a Christian, that's my beef. I think as Christians, that should be the first foot we start this dance off with, is our relationship with the Lord, with the conscience. That's all I'm saying. And so all the other things out there that we can use to buttress our decision to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine, those are all fine. But bottom line is that how in the world am I going to fellowship with people in the church who've been vaccinated if I'm unvaxxed? If that's going to be the issue, then I'm going to be talking science and medicine and all that. It's like, this is a waste of time. I'm trying to convince somebody who's been vaccinated they shouldn't have gotten it. Or they're trying to convince me to get the vaccine. And all of a sudden, I'm going to have a rift between me and them based upon that, when in reality, it's like, Paul tells me in Romans 14, don't look upon him with contempt and don't judge him. And here I am having a conversation that makes me want to have contempt toward the guy and judgment toward the, or you know, have judgment toward me. It's like, stop. This isn't profitable here anymore. Okay. If you need to do this, you do it. If you don't, then fine. But we're going to accept one another based upon what I believe, what you did in getting the vax was that you walked in faith before God, and I'm so glad you were faithful to get the facts like God wanted you to do in your conscience. Go get them. That's what you need to do. Now, I would also tell him, be careful who you influence. It's like the people who are in facts. Be careful who you influence, because simply because that's what you do doesn't mean that's what they need to do. Be careful of the vulnerable who can have their conscience gets bound to yours simply because you're a very influential kind of God. Throw them back on the Lord. Let them make their own call. I would even talk to them and say, well, how do you feel about vaccination now? I mean, I haven't really thought about it. Then you know something? Remain in that condition in which you were called and don't think about it. And keep on going until God puts it on your radar, leave it alone. Go back to cooking 3 meals a day and doing this and that or going to work and leave it alone. Now, someone might put it on your radar. Your boss might demand this or that, and then it becomes your radar. And then you really got to deal with it. But until then, it's like, I mean, look, it shouldn't get on your radar because it's on my radar. That's not the issue. But when it all of a sudden starts affecting travel and it starts commerce and jobs and money and things of this sort, it's going to get on your radar. And you're going to have to pray and seek the Lord. Lord, I don't want to get vaccinated because I'm keeping my job. If I get vaccinated because I think you want me to do that, and this is the way I'm going to please you, I'm going to glorify you greater being vaccinated than not. And if you can say that, then great. I mean, no one's going to say stop and do something different. I get it.
Hey, Mark.
Hey,
yeah. Just one last thing. Thank you for bringing this discussion up. I think it's really
great. Devin, you're cracking up. I can barely hear you.
Okay. You cut out for a second.
It must be the wind or something.
Yeah, there was a fan on in the room.
There you go.
I was just going to say thank you for bringing this discussion up because I think it's really profitable because, I mean, you hear about these things every day, day in, day out, and it's from the world's perspective most of the time, or it gets really, really political and all these different things and same arguments.
That's
but,
right.
But to bring true wisdom through discussion among the brethren, I think is so key. I actually think I got more out of tonight than just out of ever since the vaccines came out.
Well, good.
You know, it boils down to pretty much how you've always kind of said it as far as like putting the first step forward. Everything you do, you know, is to glorify God. So anything you do in faith, you know, anything you do in faith, you know. And so if it violates that,
right,
then of course, you know, you can't go with it against your conscience. I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for bringing this up tonight because I just really think it's a good discussion.
And let me say, my job is your brother and your pastor is to protect your freedom in Christ to make these calls on your own without feeling contempt from other sheep or judgments from other sheep. Gabe, you make it on your own. That's what you make that call. And whatever call he makes, I'm going to accept him in it. I'm going to say, brother, amen. That's what God wants you to do, brother. Then don't let anybody, you know, don't look over your shoulder or think you're doing this, that, or whatever. You don't fit in. Don't think any of those thoughts. That's what God wants you to do. And you came to that conclusion, then hey, the proof of the pudding's in the eating, we'll see God being glorified through it. So knock yourself out. So that helps him knowing that I've got a support cast here who's really, it's behind my freedom, number one, to do these things in Christ. And then whatever I choose to do in Christ, not just on my own, but in Christ, they're going to support me. They're not going to throw me under the bus because I didn't do it exactly what they did or something. Well, the majority did. It doesn't work that way. So, amen. Anybody else before we close? Jay.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of watching you guys that you all caught the virus because I guess most of y'all didn't have the shot. And also y'all met on Sunday, risking the fact that you could spread the COVID between you. And I was wondering if anybody was looking back and said, I wish I got the shot. Or I wish we hadn't met. But you sure answered that tonight. You did a really good job. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I regret I got COVID, but at the same time, I'm thinking, well, God's sovereign. And, you know, in a lot of ways, and I didn't like it, but at the same time, I got immunity. So it's like, okay. I get it. I mean, there's always going to be good and bad, and no matter what kind of trial I go through. And so it was always for my good, and I'm glad. I had to lose a few pounds, too. So.
Hey, Mark, also, it's nice to hear you back to your old self again.
Yeah, I'm appreciative of that. So thank to the Lord. So
Thank you.
And look, before I go, I'm going to put something up here that y'all might – we didn't get a chance to go through it tonight. But there's a – let's see. you can download this. It's called the Warrington Declaration on Medical Mandates, Biblical Ethics, and Authority. And it kind of goes through an affirmation and denial. And there's some good things in here, and there's some things that I'm not quite sure on. But what they do, they go through, just basically kind of goes through some basic stuff on authority, and then they'll get into the actual mandates, application to medical mandates, and then they'll deny certain things that civil authorities can and can't do. And they'll talk about the leprosy passages in Leviticus 13 and 14 and whether the civil government has public health authority back then. They'll look at other things if you want to. But the name of this document is the WarringtonDeclaration.com. So if you go there, you can download it. There's other things that also that I don't think I've put up here that I have access to for people who need medical or religious exemptions. They've actually written out certain things with biblical basis that if you want things like that, if you want to sign, or some people want pastors to sign for them, they have those kind of documents there if you don't believe in taking the vaccine, your job is in jeopardy. So we have those kind of resources available if that's something that is of interest to you.
Hey, Mark, keep that up there for a second. I want to take a picture of that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, let me get that back.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me see. Here it is. It's called the Warrington Declaration on Medical Mandates and Biblical Ethics.
I have it
on
my.
Got it.
I
need
to know it worked.
Yeah, okay. Let's close in prayer. Rich, would you mind closing this, brother? One of these things? Yeah. And just thank the Lord for tonight. And I'm kind of glad we got this recorded. So.